produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. I am just so blessed once again to have an opportunity just to share God's word on our weekly show, our weekly internet radio show, where we share the word of God and it's broadcast out to the nations. And it's a word that will bring transformation. There are many words that are thrown out there, but is it every word that is thrown that carries transformation, that carries the power to take you from one level to another level? Not every word is transformational. Not every word is empowering. Not every word is inspirational. But the Bible tells us that God's word is all of those things. God's word is like a lamp unto our feet. It gives us direction on how to go, where to go, when to go. So I'm always so very grateful when I get an opportunity to be able to share that word. Every one of our messages, whatever we post, if we are posting as believers on social media platforms, whatever we say, whatever comes out of our mouth, really should be directed by God's word. And sometimes we get careless about what we say. But I want to encourage you, especially in this season, to be very purposeful and intentional about what you say, what I say, because words carry power. The Bible tells us that life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So what we say is not just meaningless, but carries extreme power. So let's be very mindful about that. In this season where we need life, we need to walk in life, we need to experience life, let's not be careless or negligent about what we say, but be encouraged to be very purposeful and intentional about the words that come out of your mouth, knowing that they carry life, they release life, and be very thoughtful before we say things which are careless and which can be very damaging and very destructive. So be encouraged in that. And today, the word I want to share today has to do with disappointment. So many of us have experienced disappointment. And really, it's not just disappointment. I want to talk about desertion and disappointment. The two go together. And at some stage of our lives, All of us will go through and experience desertion by people, and with that desertion comes disappointment. And if you've not already experienced it, then I can guarantee you at some stage you'll experience it. And, you know, most of us, even from the time we were babies, as children, as babies, we've experienced desertion. And that has been followed with disappointment because we didn't expect to be deserted. It's not a good feeling to be deserted. And especially, you know, by people who we connected to, people who we bonded with, people who we had a relationship with, people who we loved and thought and felt that they also loved us. So, you know, disappointment can come through various means. You know, sometimes our friends, our relatives, our relationships may have said certain things, that they would do certain things, and they didn't do them. They didn't follow through. Or sometimes we thought we could depend on our relationships, our connections to do something or to support us in some way, and they didn't follow through. And it made us feel like we were deserted. It made us feel like we were alone. It made us feel like we weren't being supported. And that always results in disappointment. So in this sharing, we're going to look at different, you know, examples, maybe at least cover one example, look at one case study of somebody in the Bible who went through a similar challenge. And then we'll also examine scripture to see how do we deal with desertion. How are we supposed to respond when we feel like we've been deserted? And how do we deal with such? How do we handle the disappointment that comes with that desertion? And like I said, you know, there are different categories of people in our life who may have deserted us. It could have been a friend, you know, and I think all of us at some point, like, you know, I said previously, even as early as a child in kindergarten or in nursery school, you have that special friend who you felt really, this is my best friend, who you moved around with, even as early as kindergarten days or nursery school days. And then one day, maybe that friend just decides you're not their best friend anymore and leaves you and has found a new best friend. And that doesn't just happen in kindergarten. It happens even throughout our lives that somebody has found a new BFF, as they call it, best friend. And the pain and disappointment that comes with that rejection and that comes with that desertion, I know all of us have experienced that throughout our lives when we felt really connected to that person and that person just up and leaves, and many times without any explanation, just that they found somebody else. And there's a lot of disappointment that comes with that, being replaced or being substituted by somebody else. And it's particularly painful when that person just leaves you without even telling you what it is that you've done wrong. Just maybe they found a new flavor of the month, somebody who appeals to them more, or somebody who may be more popular, etc., and they want to be associated with that popularity. So many of us have experienced desertion from friends throughout our lives, and with that desertion came great disappointment, and it was very hard to overcome that disappointment. And it may not just be friends, but also in marriage. It could be that you were married and your husband, your spouse, if you're a woman that's listening to it, it could have been your husband who deserted you. Could have deserted you for various reasons. Could have been maybe somebody else. He left you, deserted you for somebody else. And if you're a man listening to this also, could have been deserted by a woman, because it's not just women who are deserted in marriages. Men also have been deserted also in marriages. So you could have been deserted in the marriage and that desertion hit you hard. And, you know, that marriage could have had children. And so he didn't, the spouse didn't just desert you, they deserted the children as well. So when there's children involved, there's always a greater level of disappointment, because now you may have been left, you're left now having to raise these children by yourself. So the desertion is felt at another level. The disappointment is at another level, because you not only have to deal with your own personal pain in having to see how do I deal with the desertion that I feel, but you have to also support your children, especially if they're at a young age, support them and help them into dealing with their feelings of desertion and disappointment by a spouse who just up and left and went one day. So that's one category of desertion is marriage. And we've dealt with the aspect of friendship where you've had, especially where it's been a really good friend and you were in a Jonathan David kind of covenant relationship, then the level of disappointment, the level of pain is at another level, as opposed to where it was maybe just a casual friend who you see every now and then. But where it was a friendship that was covenant, where you really felt you had a connection, the disappointment is much deeper. It may be that maybe you were not married. It was not necessarily a marriage. It could have been even an engagement where it stopped short of marriage. and you felt this was your spouse, this was the person you were going to spend the rest of your life with, this was the person who was going to be your life partner, and it didn't quite make it there. And if you're a woman, you know, you had to give the ring back or whatever it is. But still, you know, the disappointment, you could still feel deserted. And the disappointment levels are still high, even in an engagement or even just a committed relationship. It also may not have reached the point where you actually got formally and officially engaged, but you were in a committed relationship. You talked to each other every day. You communicated with each other every day. You were in a deep, committed relationship where you really expected that in the future, and you had even talked about marriage, and you expected that in the future, this would end up being a covenant relationship in a committed marriage. And then that person one day just leaves the relationship again. Your other person just leaves the relationship again. That also can result in great levels of hurt, great levels of pain, great levels of feelings of desertion and disappointment. So there are different categories, like I've said, of desertion. It's, you could have been deserted by a friend. You could have been deserted in a marriage or in an engagement, committed relationship, or otherwise. Whatever the scenario is, whatever the case is, there is a disappointment, like I've said, that comes with it. I don't think there's any person who can honestly say that they were deserted by somebody and they rejoiced. They rejoiced and had a party, threw a party, and were so happy. You may have rejoiced maybe, or at a later stage, maybe when upon reflecting on the relationship, and maybe you realize that the relationship was not the best relationship, you might have rejoiced at a later stage when you came to the realization that this relationship was not the best for you. But, you know, at the time when the desertion happened, when the desertion occurred, I'm sure you and I definitely were not rejoicing at the time. But as days went by and you processed what happened and you were able to get over it, then, you know, it could have been a cause for celebration when you came to the understanding that perhaps that relationship was not the best for you or for the other person involved. The first case study I want us to look at is the case study of Paul. And I was reading this scripture, and this is the scripture that actually prompted this teaching and this sharing. And you know, the Apostle Paul was such a mighty man of faith. He was such somebody who was so determined, somebody who was so strong in his faith. And I was reading this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And this is what Paul was now saying. He made this statement in the Word of God, and he said, Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So this is Paul speaking. He says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So we know that, listen, Apostle Paul, such a great warrior, such a great disciple of Yeshua, such a man of great faith, of strong faith. One of the, you know, he was responsible, we know, for writing at least almost about half of the New Testament. But even him, with the great levels of faith and the great discipline that he had and great, you know, love that he had for God, even he experienced times when adversity and disappointment actually impacted him, affected him. And if when you read the scripture, you can almost feel the pain, the hurt, the discouragement that Paul was experiencing even in this time. This is somebody who, you know, went through so much adversity, experienced so much, was shipwrecked. I mean, was beaten, was shipwrecked. And so many things happened to him. But even him, he came to a point where he said, listen, you could sense his disappointment. You could sense his pain. You could sense his discouragement, his hurt at the desertion by Demas, at the desertion for Demas. So we need to understand that desertion happens to everybody, even mighty men of God, even mighty women of God. In fact, a lot of ministers of the gospel, and I know there's some ministers of the gospel who are listening to this, and you have been leading a ministry, you have been leading an assembly. I know many of us as fivefold ministers can also attest to that, that you've poured your life, you've poured your heart into somebody or into some people, into individuals, teaching and training them, equipping them, activating them, you know, just fulfilling the assignment that was given to you. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, it says that the fivefold ministry gifts are to teach, train, equip, and activate the saints to do the work of the ministry. And it could be a ministry desertion where you've poured your heart, your whole heart into teaching and training and equipping somebody in the understanding that, you know, that person is going to serve in the ministry, is going to serve in that ministry. And sometimes, you know, after pouring your heart in there, that person just ups and leaves you and you feel deserted. And you feel deserted. I want to encourage you today, if you are a fivefold ministry, you've poured your heart into teaching and training somebody, and that person leaves the ministry and goes and serves somebody somewhere else, I want to encourage you that even though you may feel deserted, even though you may feel disappointed at having been deserted, let me encourage you to say that all every effort you made into training them, into encouraging them, that effort will not be lost. For as long as that person still is serving in the kingdom of God, still is serving in the body of Christ, it is not wasted effort. It is not wasted effort. I myself have done it so many times, and I've come to a place where I know that the person and the gift I'm training, I'm settled. I am fine with teaching and training and equipping people who will go and serve in many other ministries. I'm settled in that because I know that as long as the kingdom of God benefits, as long as that person does not backslide, then I know that there is a benefit to the body of Christ. And we must come to that place of as ministers, not feeling deserted or disappointed by people whom we've trained and equipped and activated leaving us. They don't have to serve with you. They don't have to serve necessarily in that ministry. We are teaching and training and equipping them to serve in the body of Christ. So as long as they're doing that, then we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice, and we need not to feel disappointed at having been deserted. Hallelujah. So as I was saying, that, you know, you may be disappointed by different people for different reasons. In this instance of Paul, the case study around Paul was feeling deserted. And in this instance, Demas left because he loved the world. So it's telling us that his reasons for leaving, he didn't leave to go and serve in ministry, but he left to join the world. He left because of a love for the world. That is definitely concerning. And I can definitely understand Paul's disappointment. It was not just a disappointment that had to do with he's left me, but it was a disappointment that had to do with he's not just left me, but he's left the kingdom. He's left the body of Christ. He's left his relationship with Yeshua to join in relationship with the world, a world that God has said to us, be not conformed to this world. In Romans 12:2, he said, don't be conformed to this world. We are in the world, but we must not be of the world. We must not be joined to the world. We must not follow the worldly principles and protocols. So this was the pain that Paul was feeling, that, listen, this is somebody who's left not only a relationship with me, but a relationship with Yeshua. And it is all the more painful when somebody deserts us, and you know that they've not only left you as an individual, but they've left the relationship with Yeshua. This is somebody who maybe you knew, you read the word of God together, you prayed together, and you were not only in a type of covenant with each other, but you were in a, first and foremost, a covenant, a type of covenant with God. You were in covenant with God first, and then in covenant with each other. And then you see this person not only leaving you, but leaving God. It's so disappointing. It's so disappointing. And I know that disappointment myself. I've experienced that disappointment myself, where somebody not only deserts you, but deserts God. But deserts God. That is the most painful of all, that cutting of that relationship with God. And this is what Paul is feeling, that you've deserted me, but you've also deserted God in loving the world and what the world has to offer. You've deserted God. So Delmas left because he loved the world. And oftentimes we need to understand that people are not leaving because they no longer love us or because of us. Don't personalize it. Many times people leave us or desert us, because if you are a believer, first of all, and your life is regulated by the word of God, if that person has left God and their relationship with God, they will not want to be with you anymore because you remind them of God. And if that person is backslidden, and if that person no longer wants to be in that type of relationship with God, your prayers, your praying every day, your reading the word of God, and your being in association with other believers will remind them of the relationship they once had with God. And if they're in a backslidden stage or state, they will not want to be reminded of God. And so they will not only, they've deserted God, and in deserting God, they will desert you as well, because you remind them of the previous relationship that they once had. You remind them of their backslidden state. So that is something to be expected. So, yes, the thing is, we need to know how to go through these disappointments. We've talked about the fact that we will be deserted, and this, with the desertion comes disappointment, but we need to know how to deal with those disappointments. And, you know, as we said, Paul was disappointed, but Paul was also the same man who wrote this, you know, who said this in scripture. And I'm going to encourage you through what he himself said, 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. He said, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua may also be revealed in our body." So we know that we'll experience desertion, we'll experience, you know, rejection. That means we're hard pressed on every side. We may be perplexed, we may be persecuted, but at the end of the day, and we may even be struck down in relationships. But here's the thing, remember that we're not crushed. That disappointment will not crush you. That disappointment will not cause you to move into a place of despair. That disappointment will not cause you to feel abandoned, because God said he will never forsake nor leave you. That desertion or disappointment will not destroy you. Why? Because you carry Yeshua, and the life of Yeshua must be revealed in you, in your body. Remember in John 10:10, it says Yeshua came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So even though we go through rejection, even though we go through desertion by people who we loved, who we trusted, who we thought we were in covenant relationship with, who we thought that this relationship will be for life, even though we go through that, we are not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not walking in abandonment. We are not destroyed, because the life of Yeshua continues to be in us, and to operate in us, and to be revealed in us. So let's be sure to make sure that we know that, so that desertion, disappointment does not bring you to a place where you even question your faith. How do we overcome desertion and disappointment? We overcome it, one, your overall trust must be in God. must be in God. Sometimes we place so much trust in people, in the relationships that, you know, because we've placed too much trust in the relationship, more than we have trust in God, then when that relationship fails, we become overwhelmed with disappointment. So our overall trust must be in God. And as we trust God, trust Him even to work through, to help us through these disappointments, to help us deal with the rejection, to help us deal with the desertion. You know, the Bible says some trust in horses and others in chariots. But as for us, let's place our trust in God to process, to help us process the disappointment. Trust in Him, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 encourage us to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try and understand, why did this person desert us? Don't try to ask too many questions. Why did they leave? You may not get an answer, but lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. So trust in God, acknowledge Him, and don't lean to your understanding. Don't ask too many questions, but acknowledge Him and allow Him to direct your paths. Secondly, so we overcome desertion, disappointment, by first and foremost, primarily trusting in God. Secondly, I've learned not to place too much expectation on others. Sometimes we expect too much of other people. So understand, come to the realization, I'm not saying be negative, I'm not saying be pessimistic, but I'm saying understand humanity and people. We are humans. And realize and know and settle in your heart and spirit that people will let us down from time to time. And knowing that, however, don't allow it to make you bitter and don't allow it to impact on your faith. The fact that people will desert us, understanding that, don't allow that to impact on your faith in God. Don't disconnect from God because of having been deserted by somebody else. Don't allow somebody else's negative actions to cause you to let go of God. Remain trusting God, remain holding on to God, and remain in right relationship with God. And also, like I've said, you know, people will let us down from time to time. And in letting us down, you know, we need to also remember that we are not perfect. And, you know, I'm sure that you, and I know that I definitely have let people down over the years. I've disappointed some people. I've not fulfilled their expectations. Of course, it's not every expectation that is right. So some expectations I've not fulfilled because they were wrong, but there were some right expectations that they might have had of me that I disappointed them in. And I know that all of us have disappointed people in. So, you know, let's not be too hard on those who have disappointed us. Don't hold it against people. Be quick to forgive and make sure that you are not embittered by the process. Forgive. Make sure you get into a place of forgiveness. We are told to forgive, and forgiveness is an aspect and critical component of being a child and son of God. Then also, another way of overcoming desertion and disappointment, guard your heart. King Solomon said it best in Proverbs 4:23. He said, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So your heart, make sure that you guard your heart from bitterness, guard your heart from anger, guard your heart from hostility. When you're going through all this desertion and disappointment, don't allow all those negative emotions to enter into your heart. Keep your heart, you know, pure. Ask God to keep it cleansed so that you don't allow the desertion and the bitterness to bring the disappointment to bring you to a place of being bitter, of being critical, of being judgmental of people. So make sure that you guard your heart. And lastly, use prayer. Get into a time of prayer and use the Word of God. Confess the Word of God to help you through the disappointment. Begin to confess joy. Begin to confess love and peace in your heart. Pray and ask God to help you heal. Yeshua is the healing balm of Gilead after all. So I love you with the love of the Lord. God richly bless you. And I pray that you and I will learn how to overcome disappointment and desertion, what we feel is desertion and disappointment, so we can be fruitful and productive in our lives and fulfill kingdom mandate and kingdom agenda. Lots of love.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
What a wonderful time, what a wonderful day that the Lord God has given us. Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, the co-producer Kayla Padgett, on our weekly radio station, we are bringing you the voice of destiny, empowered for your destiny, with Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Let's sink in as we get into the devotion of what God has given us. Thank you. Learning or heavy. If you take my yoke upon you and you learn from me, he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And I think I've mentioned this before. There are two rests that have been mentioned in verse 28 and verse 29. I want you to watch that. Verse 28, there is a rest that comes from God or Christ. Verse 29, there is a rest that you find for your soul. The first rest is given to you. The second rest, you find it. Are you there with me? Mm-hmm. It says in verse 28, you come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Christ says, I will give you rest. The second rest is dependent on when you take my yoke upon you, and when you learn from me, I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, you will find rest for your souls. The first rest is given. The second rest, you find it. How does that happen? By coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm accepting the invitation. When I accept the invitation, coming to Jesus Christ, it gives me the leverage and the advantage of understanding that He is my everything. I am surrendering everything in my life. Most of us all here, they talk about the eight phases of trauma. We all would have faced trauma differently in our lives, right from childhood to where we are right now. We find ourselves in right now the different phases where trauma hits us at different times, whether through neglect or abandonment or absentee fathers and stuff like that. But here's the thing that I wanted to understand. Jesus says, bring it all to me. And I just find it very interesting that Jesus Christ, it's an invitation that he wants you and I to embrace by coming to him. Religion has taught us to go to church to get our blessings. Come to church and you get your joy. Come to church and you get a good life. And very soon realize that that doesn't quite work in our lives. In this instance, there is an invitation coming from the master himself. Jesus says, come to me. And I find it very interesting because verse 27 chapter 11, he says something that's very, very interesting. Why do we need to come to Jesus Christ? Because he says in verse 27, for all things have been delivered to me. That answers. Why verse 28? Verse 28 says, come to me. But then we want to know, why do we come to you? The world teaches us there are many ways to go to God. But listen to me, friends, there's only one way to come to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. He says in verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus is bragging about his Father, his relationship that he has with his daddy. He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he says, it is because of that I'm giving an invitation to all. If you come to me, I wanted to think that statement because I find it very, very important and critical in the days that we're living in. That how am I doing in my life? How am I living? I've got these plans that I have for my life, maybe when I get out of this place, in this phase where I am. But I need to know who is going along with me. Jesus says, come to me. This is where life begins. The departure point to your dreams, fulfillment and completion of the purposes that God has given you, hang upon who you go to. We have gone to our friends oftentimes when we want to make important decisions. We've been hurt, we've been disappointed, we have been betrayed. But here's the invitation that's coming from the CEO of the universe, Jesus Christ. He says, come to me. And he says, when you come to me, here's the promise. It's an invitation with a promise. He says, all of you who are labor and are heavy laden, the other version says, to all of you who are stressed and are burdened, I will give you rest. That's what Jesus Christ says. You know, the word rest is a very interesting term, but you understand it is not rest as it means to leisure. It's not rest as it means to sleeping, right? We're used to that life. We become like a desiccal in the way we do things. That, you know, when somebody's resting, the image that comes to our mind is somebody's taking a nap or is sleeping. When talk about the word rest, some of us, we think about, you know, leisurely, when we go for holiday, when I go out and go and just have fun. But here's what Jesus Christ says. The rest he's talking about there is the rest that is mentioned in Genesis chapter in the very first beginnings of Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, and then it says on the seventh day, he rested. So that word rest, it means completion of a task. It means a fulfillment that comes because I've completed what I was supposed to do. I love that. Jesus says, true rest is in completing the task that was laid before me. So on the cross, we know he finished his assignment, because when the assignment was finished, Jesus says, it is finished. So I often say to Christians, without trying to be critical of anybody, that you, when you've got a cross that has got Jesus Christ still on the cross there, it's almost an completion of a task, because he's no longer on the cross. You're with me? Jesus died. Jesus rose up again. That's rest. In the tabernacle of Moses, when the high priest would go in to do the tasks that were supposed to complete, there was no chair where you could sit after it's completed. But I wanted to understand that when Jesus Christ, our high priest, finished his task, you know what the book of Psalms says? He says, God has exalted him. And in this exaltation, he says, when you have finished the victory, when you have rested, he says, I will make your enemies your footstool, in the book of Psalms, chapter 3. It's important that you and I understand there is a rest, a fulfillment that comes when I come to Jesus Christ. We call it the honeymoon phases, when we are just born again and we have said yes to Jesus Christ. When I remember in my times, I got saved when I was 11 years at the Reinhard Bonnke Crusade. And I just know that I couldn't, it was something that I could not even explain with my mind. It passed beyond my feelings or my emotions to know that I have said yes to Jesus Christ. I could not even explain it to my friends. How does that feel? What does that mean that you've got Jesus Christ? The first rest, boom, to your spirit, man. You are awakened. It's like the dreams that were dead. I came here and you were talking about that. It's like something that was dead inside of you. What there is a resuscitation, a revival. Something has been awakened. And that awakening becomes very important because that's the beginning of a journey to your life to complete that which God has called you to be and to do. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus says, guarantee, promise, I will give you rest. But then he says, when you take my yoke upon you. Yokes was a piece of wood. We used it in Beckham in Zimbabwe, and I grew up in a in a plot where we used to apply with the cows, my father, and he taught me the principle of yoking two oxen together. And whenever they did that, and they would take the one that does not know how to plow, and they give and they yoke it together with the one that is matured, that has been trained, that knows how to plow. So you've got an immature yoked to the matured one. Of course, the reason is simple. Is so that the younger one that does not know, oftentimes the younger one likes to pull and tag and go the other side. But the matured one understands there is a pathway that we are supposed to walk on. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. Because when you take the yoke of Jesus Christ, you are actually saying, I do not want to go my own way. You with me, boys? When you take the yoke of Jesus upon your life, you are saying, Lord, I don't want to be your shareholder between you and the devil. That today I'm really down and depressed, and it's going to be that way, the narrative of my life. And tomorrow I'm joyous, I am so full of life, and I want to read the Bible, or I just finished the book of Psalms, all of it in one day. And then come the other day, you are down in your sorrows, and you wonder what's going on with you. You are going on like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. Let me introduce you today to something very imperative for your life. Allow yourself to be yokeable to Jesus, if that's a statement. When you allow yourself to be yoked to Jesus, you are saying, I'm willing to forgo my pleasures. I'm willing to forgo my own choices, because the truth is, you won't be here. Your choices and your decisions, truth is, they've brought you here. Correct? That's why you are where you are. It's because here is a halfway house. We call it the bridge. It is because you are trying now to think that, you know, whatever was broken in my life, I can rebuild again. You can rebuild your purpose again. You can rebuild your faith again. You can rebuild the lost opportunities again. And the good thing about when you walk with Christ and walk with Jesus Christ is there is no time that is wasted, because the wasted years that become years where you can have a lot of profit and gain out of them, because what was mistakes that become lessons for you to move on and push on again. Are we together? Jesus says, take my yoke. When you take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I find it very interesting, come, take, and learn. Three fundamental truths that I believe I can just throw there to you for you to think about. Come, take, and learn, Jesus says. By coming to me, there is full surrender. By coming to me, there's 100% submission. By coming to me, you are saying, I am stuck, I can't help myself, I can't do it on my own. By coming to me, there is a greater opportunity for me to redefine what you were born to be and to do. Amen. So let's get it in our spirit today. I think that I know you'll be going to a program. As you go to this program, I just want you to think upon these three words over your life. There's an invitation that is open. Jesus Christ is calling me. By coming to him, I'm laying everything at his feet. By taking his yoke, not my yoke. It's not me coming to Jesus Christ and say, you know what, we've got to make a deal here. I have this thing that I'm hooked up upon. I've got this thing that I'm yoked on with. Jesus is saying, you lay down yours. You take what's mine. And when you take what's mine, at the end of your life, you look back in your field. Because you yoke oxen to plow a field. And Jesus is saying, the answer that you are looking for, the harvest you are after, the life that you are dreaming about, that you would like to see happen, it only begins by allowing yourself and saying yes to be yoked to Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. And then he says, learn from me. In other words, don't become a professor of your own life. Again, doesn't work. Oftentimes, sometimes we come to God as if like I think we want to tell him exactly how we want our life to be. But he says, no, I know how your life is going to be. Because he says in Jeremiah chapter 1, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. There's an assignment that you can never explain. When I talk about the Johari window in counseling, in psychology, we say there is the you that you know about you. There is a you that Others know about you and you don't know about you. But then there is a you that you don't know about, your friends don't know about, your parents don't know about, only God knows. Get me, guys? There is a you that is in you. There is you that needs to come up. That is not defined by circumstances. That is not defined by friends. We think we know one another as we're sitting here right now. We live together. We know our certain behaviors and certain habits. But the truth is, the inner core of what could become of you, you don't even know. God knows. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. It's almost like it's a simple prayer just to come before him today and say, Lord, teach me about me. I thought I knew me. I don't. So, Lord, I'm coming to you. Reveal the mysteries. So oftentimes we look at life and we see these indicators everywhere. We see the Trumps of this world becoming presidents. We see in this world the Joe Bidens becomes president. We see in this world people sometimes of no notoriety, people that have no skills, people that you look about, they have no emotional intelligence, they don't have relational intelligence, but God raises them out of the mech of life and they become somebody. That's you. Drugs or the drug life that you lived in the past does not define who you are. The drinking problem does not define who you are. Domestic violence is a piece of paper and whatever was written down on that certificate does not define who you are. Your police clearances would be filled with charges and crimes, but that doesn't define who you are, boys. Come to me, Jesus says. I turn the Zacchaeus, who were the rich thief, tax collector, to the one after one meal with Jesus Christ in his house, changed his whole narrative, and he stood up and said, Lord, I know I was a thief. I know they knew me as a liar and a deceiver. They knew me in the whole of Jerusalem. My name is Zacchaeus, short, thief, tax collector. But here is, because you've come into my life, and because now I realize your power in my life, all what I did, I'll pay back four times. I'm here to say to you today, between you and the destination that where you are set to, there is an invitation. And the invitation is an invitation to surrender. It's an invitation to come to Jesus Christ. And part of that invitation, he says, find rest for your soul. I find rest for my soul because I learn to take what he gives me. Not what I think I need. Not the type of character or the personality or the values or the belief systems that I've collected over a period of time. I'm just like my father. And that becomes a narrative of your life. I can't change me because I'm just like my mother. I'm here to say to you, when you take the yoke of Jesus over your life, you don't mirror yourself according to your father. Because your father or your mother, they're the same common denominator. Broken, faulty, sinful, and evil. Get your uniqueness from the one that invites you. God said in Genesis 1 verse 26, come, let us make man in our image. So I'm not in the image of what the TV tells me I am. I am not in the image of what the magazines tell me I am. I am not the image of what I'm trying to be out there, copying some other characters out there. Jesus is my superstar and is my supermodel. And therefore, I follow him. Come to me. When you come to me, he says, I'll give you rest. But the second rest to your soul, he says, you'll get it when you allow yourself to take. When was the last time you read the word of God just out of evolution? Not because you were forced to do those devotions, but just on your own. Random time, you say, you know what? I just want to read the Bible today. That takes a willingness that comes from here. There is a determination that comes from it. I am not doing it because it's just a program. It's part of the program. Even when you go right now to Victory Life on this VOA, Victory Over Addiction, some of those things there that probably are being taught about, maybe that you might look at that and say, no, that's not who I am. But you know, when you take that in, every information that you're privileged to receive, it's never just for you, but it's for others. There's somebody who will need where you're going to this morning. Do that make sense? Mm-hmm. Pieces of information that we receive, it's not like, ah, oh, that's not for me. I don't even want to go there. I am going there because this is where I am in life. And I believe God, who brought me to this house, knows exactly why I need to go there. Why do I need to go there for to RAW? Why do I need to go to the WOW meetings? Why do I need to be where they want me to go? I wanted to remove the mentality that wants you to govern yourself and allow to be governed by the yoke of Jesus. Because yokes will control me. And I said to us last time, there are two types of yoke. The yoke of men and the yoke of Jesus. The yoke of men is religious. The yoke of men does things to please Pastor Murray. The yoke of men does things to please the church. The yoke of men leads to bondage. The yoke of men is traditions of men. The yoke of men does not set you free. The yoke of men binds you. So I want you to understand that let there always be a motivation and an excitement that rise up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David says, and all that is within me. Why? Because soul needs that. Your soul needs a place in life where you can be able to say, you know what? If I am discouraged today, I want to encourage myself. If I feel depressed today, I want to tell myself, I want to get out of this. Because if you do not, nobody will. You will find rest for your soul. What am I learning from Jesus? I am learning that as I walk with him, when I walk with Jesus Christ daily, my walk with Jesus Christ teaches me principles that to walk in love, I can't walk in love when I've been so hurt, when I've been betrayed, when I've gone through trauma. I can't walk in love. But Jesus says, take my yoke. Because the yoke of Jesus Christ will teach you the principles of life. May God bless you guys. I wanted just to bring this across to us and cement, impress and impart upon our hearts that how are we doing as we are here. My prayer is always when I come here, I want you to realize that move away from the mentality that you are in a rehab. This is not a rehab. It's a discipling house. It's where you are learning principles. Pick the lessons. There'll be times where you think, you know what? When those guys, when those men, when they were coming here and they were teaching us this, giving us this, and you think, you know what? Now I need those things to give over to my son. I need this to teach my daughter. Now I need this, you know, for me to teach my mate. You know, because this is the time that we have. So take advantage of this moment and say, Lord, I may not end my life in university. I might not have ended my life in a college or in a TAF. But Lord, I want to learn as much as can be so that I can be all that God wants me to be. Let's bow our heads together. Amen. Once again, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network with our co-producer, Kela Paget. Join us once again. Come, take, and learn. These are the words of our Master, Jesus Christ. Have a fantastic week. Catch you again next week on our program. Thank you.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.